Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey, and it is my pleasure to be behind the mic with you today, and I hope you're having a great day and an even better week. And can you believe it? It is already June, and happy June, everyone. And unless you're in a weird weather area of the United States, it has been hot, hot, hot. And of course, we're in South Florida, Mom Talk Radio base, but so it's always hot here, so we can't really say. But hopefully up north where you've thawed out over the spring, you're enjoying some nice warm temperatures. And it's just hard to believe it's already June. And of course, June is the season of dads and grads, and it's sure been a busy one in our house. And if you're in the same boat and you've had a if you've had a graduate in your house, or you have a relative, a niece, a nephew, a friend that has graduated, we wish you congratulations. It is a really important and fun celebration in the life of a student. And you're either moving from middle school up to high school or high school to college. And if you're the parent of a college graduate, well, you can tell them welcome to the world of work. So congratulations again. And it's such a great time. And it's interesting in my house because I have a pretty big range of age range. And I have a second grader who really is doing nothing these last 2 weeks of school and except watching movies. And then I have a high schooler who's been in the throes of a week of final exam. So it's quite a different comparison between the two. So it's been interesting. But my kids officially got out of school last week. And again, that kicks off summer, even though the official start of summer isn't until the middle of June. But it's going to be the summer of summer camps and a little bit of travel. But if summer camps are on your menu, I hope they're fun for your kids. And if travel is on your agenda for the summer, I hope it's to fun and interesting destinations. And again, as we said, it's dads and grads. So any dads out there who might be listening, happy Father's Day in a couple of weeks. And I'm sure Maria's going to touch on that. And speaking of graduates, Maria is actually at getting her MBA, as I'm sure you all know if you follow her on Twitter at Mom Talk Radio. And that's one of the reasons she's not behind the mic. She is actually in the midst of her final exam. So we know she'll do just fine as she does everything. She'll just do fabulously on her exams. So before I start the show and introduce some of a little bit about our guests, I wanted to talk about our sponsor, Premama. If you are taking a prenatal vitamin or trying to decide which one to take, try the prenatal vitamin you can drink. Premama comes in essentials and essentials plus DHA, and it's a prenatal powder that you put in your favorite drink. It can be your smoothie, it can be a juice, and even oatmeal. And it's doctor recommended. It has everything you'll need, the essentials, nutrients, and vitamins like DHA, folic acid, iron, and so much more, and even B6 for nausea relief, because sometimes it's not just morning sickness, it's all day sickness. So check it out and go to drinkpremama.com for information and a store locator. And also follow Premama on Facebook and Twitter at drinkpremama and on Instagram at just Premama, Premama, because there is some big news coming up over the summer. In July, there's going to be some big news from Premama that's going to be exciting for women who are preconception to postnatal. So there's new products coming down the line from Premama. So keep up with us, keep up with them on Facebook and Twitter. So our show today is going to start out with, we have one male guest, Rob Gein from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. He's going to be covering a new policy report that it's called Every Kid Needs a Family. It's covering the vital topic of child and family welfare. And then after Rob, you're going to love this. The rest of the show features moms who are rocking the business world, their communities, and so much more, from social media moms to moms who are CEOs of fabulously successful corporations to a mom who's going to talk about her business she started because of her special need for her son. So stay with us on Mom Talk Radio. We're going to kick off the show with our first, again, the only male guest of the show, Rob Gein of the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Stay with us.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the first segment of Mom Talk Radio. It is my pleasure to introduce Rob Gein, who is the Director of Policy Reform and Advocacy at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And during the break, I was saying how I hear that name. I'm an NPR nerd, and I listen to NPR all the time, and I know that the Annie E. Casey Foundation is a sponsor. So very, very wonderful organization. So welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you, Mary. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So we're going to tackle a interesting policy report that's got a great information for our listeners. It's called Every Kid Needs a Family. Tell us about it.
You would think with a title like that, we're talking about common sense, and we are talking about common sense. We know that children do best in families. It's what I want for my teenagers. It's what every mom listening wants for their family. And what we now know is that it's also backed by lots of rigorous research. So research shows that when children have to be removed from their parents' homes, that they do best when they're placed in families, hopefully relatives, but if not with relatives, with other families rather than institutional care. They get better educational outcomes, they're more likely to be employed, and they're more likely to succeed in families later on in life. So if this is common sense, why are we talking about it? We're talking about it because despite all this research, we now know that 57,000 kids in the foster care system are being placed in residential care institutions, which is not good for their well-being.
The 57,000 is U.S., correct?
57,000 children in the U.S. It's about one of all three teenagers that are being placed in foster care are being placed in an institution and not getting the benefit of a family.
And is that skewed more toward older children, or is it a mix of young from birth to? I've heard it's just more difficult to place tweens and teens.
Yes, it is more common amongst teenagers. Unfortunately, we're seeing young kids also placed in group institutions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to recognize that one of the things that we highlight in the report is the variation across states. And, you know, there are some states where a very small percentage of kids are experiencing a residential setting. And let me be clear, sometimes residential care is necessary. To be sure, there's a small number of kids that have such complex needs that they need a specialized care for a small period of time in a residential setting, like you would use an emergency room if you had a crisis health condition. The problem we're seeing is that there are too many children who are unnecessarily being placed. A new report by the Department of Health and Human Services shows that 40% of all the kids that are in a group setting have no clinical reason for being there.
And that's because just the lack of foster families. Is that correct?
That is largely to do with it. But I also think that we're in a period of evolution. About 100 years ago, we thought placing children in orphanages was a good thing. And maybe back then it was. Maybe we didn't have any other options. 30 years ago, people will shake their heads, but we told foster parents, don't show any affection to the kids in your care. We don't want them to get attachment confusion. We don't want you to become attached to them or them to become attached to you. Many states even had policies moving kids periodically to prevent them from developing a relationship with their foster parents. So, you know, until recently, I think many folks believed that placing a child in an institution with, you know, shiny walls and maybe rolling green hills was good. It was a higher quality of care. What we didn't appreciate was the importance of family in taking a traumatic child and helping them be more resilient.
What do we do? How do we help? Is there anything? Obviously, the best situation. Does the report give it suggestions or recommendations?
Sure. Absolutely. So there are three key recommendations at the policy level. First, we have to make sure that children and families get the therapy they need, but they do so in their own communities. If the only place for you to get health care is an emergency room, then you're going to use the emergency room for all your health care needs. If the only place to get therapy is in a residential setting, that's where we're going to send kids.
Okay.
And children have been traumatized by abuse and neglect. They've been traumatized by the removal from birth parents. And so we have to have that therapy available in the community. So that's first. Mm-hmm. Second, we need to do a better job of equipping relatives and other family foster parents with the tools that they need to care for youth who have suffered trauma. It's not just a matter of having more foster parents, because there are lots of places that have enough. It's making sure that they have the qualities that they need to have so that they can effectively care for a child. So that's
second. And training, right? I mean, there's training
Absolutely. It's training, but specialized training, too. It's not just training in general, but it's to make sure that they can manage the children that are going to be placed with them. Mm-hmm. So that's at the second level. And at the third level, we actually do need to put in policy that certain children should never be placed in a group setting. So, for example, a handful of states have said there will be no group settings for children under a certain age, under the age of 6, under the age of 9, because we know how critical in child development that connection to family is. Another way to do that is to require a higher level of justification before we place a child apart from a family. Since family should always be the default, we should have a higher level of justification before we make that difficult decision to place a child in a group institution. Several states have bumped that up to the director level. So if the director sees any single time a child's going to be placed apart from a family, you see that's being done with more attention and more due diligence.
More oversight almost, right? Or due diligence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You say the word oversight. That's another important issue, and that is that once we place a child in a group institution, the purpose of that is to stabilize them so that they can benefit from a family. And we know that the average length of time that a child is in an institutional setting is 9 months. And yet the research tells us that children who do better, and not everyone does, but those who do better in the first 3 months, maybe the first 6 months. But after 6 months, their quality of care actually goes down. And so we have to keep up and make sure that that placement is still necessary for a child.
Right, right. So where can our listeners go to find information? I think the Annie E. Casey Foundation is the website's just loaded with resources and information, correct?
Correct. Lots of information on our website, www.aecf.org. You'll find a copy of this report, lots of other reports that talk about how to improve the child welfare foster care system.
And it's a topic that's near and dear to Mom Talk Radio's production staff. Someone on the staff is actually a foster parent, and it's a wonderful job she's doing. So thank you so much, Rob Gein, for joining us again. The website is aecf.org, and we'll have a link up on Mom Talk Radio next week. And when we return, we're going to put the spotlight on moms. We'll be talking to Jessica Martin Weber, a mom of 4 children, and she blogs at theleakyboob.com. This is going to be a good one. Stay with us. This is my favorite part of Mom Talk Radio. We shine the spotlight on moms, just like me and you, everyday moms who are parenting their children, since many have businesses. So I'm pleased to introduce Jessica Martin Weber, who is the mom of 4 children, and she blogs at, you ready for this? TheLeakyBoob.com, and she's on Twitter at TheLeakyBoob. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Jessica.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And actually, I have 6 kids.
It says 4 here.
No.
They won't know. It only says children. You didn't leave any. They won't know which one that you left out. The 2, rather.
They won't have a clue.
Yeah. So, okay. So 6 children. Sorry about that. So, so that's even, you know, wow, you're even more of a veteran in the parenting world. So tell us really quickly, you want to talk about the global community and your virtual town center and all about social media. Tell us a little bit about that. What you mean by that?
5 years ago, almost exactly, actually, I had a baby who was born with a congenital heart defect, and she was a super, super sick little girl. And the first 12 weeks of her life were rather time consuming and trying to just help her grow. And we were preparing for surgery, and we ended up going in for her pre-op. And lo and behold, everything was looking really good, and they said we could delay her surgery. And I came home, and I was pumping all the time, trying to increase her calorie intake. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did was log into Facebook and tell my friends, my community, and the moms that in different Facebook groups and different places that were supporting me all cheered, and, you know, it was just this place of connecting. And I realized that that had become my community, and they were all over the world, from Australia to the UK to the United States, and these were my people. And I didn't even realize it had happened that way, but that's in that time, especially in that difficult time of my life, mothering my children, I found my community online.
Yeah, and it began organically, which is so much more authentic. And I think it's such a statement as to the good parts of social media, because we all hear about the bad, but there is good. Mm-hmm. like this,
oh,
right?
There's so much good. Yes,
right.
So much good. So much that just kind of naturally unfolds in it. And it starts with our own friends, but it expands when we, when moms, when parents find themselves in groups often targeted to a specific life phase. For me, it was actually
right.
pregnancy groups. And then it grew from there. And then I ended up starting my own, which also grew from there. And we've discovered by being able to find this place where you can talk about that specific life phase, we end up naturally morphing into other conversations. And mm-hmm. they become our people. And we find place there and we find support and encouragement and exchange of information and ideas.
It's, right.
Facebook and social media has become the virtual town hall.
And interestingly enough, Marie is in the midst of writing another book, and it's focused really on millennial moms and how much it has really become like there's a stat, and I'm not going to give away a lot about the book. I'm obviously Maria would, you know, I'd lose my job, but it's a lot about, it's a stat in there. It, moms go to social media a lot of times before they'll go to their pediatrician. There's
yes.
forums and there's Facebook and, you know, and what is this rash? And you take a quick picture and shoot it out on, you know,
right.
Instagram or Vine or, you know, so it's really yes. fascinating. So your Facebook group has a fan page though, right? For your brand?
Yeah. The way it started was actually that day that I came home. In one of my groups, somebody had posted a story about a woman getting kicked out of, I think it was Chili's for breastfeeding her baby.
Oh,
and,
uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody was outraged. And it was the first time I saw social media have that kind of influence where they could say, hey, we're going to take a stand from all around the world behind this one person. And while
right.
she may be in that location, we're all supporting her there.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I had seen that. And I couldn't physically go support her. And I wrote a blog post on my little tiny blog that I thought just my mom read. And only when I told her there were pictures of the kids posted.
No, that's not how it went, was it? It went crazy,
no.
right? Yeah, that happens when I think when you least expected it, right? And sure enough, that and honestly, I saw enough of those breastfeeding in public stories, and that's the one way to get the mom ground the groundswell of support from moms is to start talking about that.
We connect and
yep.
protect each other with that, and it's
really right.
a beautiful thing to see. So yes, the Leaky Boob has its own Facebook page and a private closed community group. The Facebook
okay.
page is closing in on 200,000. It's
wow.
been 5 years now. Very active. Lots of stories. We really focus on the narrative, the peer-to-peer mom-to-mom connection
right.
and support
right.
and share information. And
that's what we all want. Moms just want to be able to you know, even if it's something serious or funny or lighthearted. So, and yours started as a serious issue. So thank you so much for joining us, Jessica. And again, theleakyboob.com on Twitter @theleakyboob. And of course, your fan page, which is...
the same. Actually, to find it, though, you have to use the @ symbols and the word boob because Facebook was afraid of the word boob back then and I wasn't allowed to use it.
Oh, Lord. All right, great. So you have to use the @ sign. So thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, we're joined by a very successful business owner, Gigi Stettler, from down in our neck of the woods in South Florida. Stay with us.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey. Our next guest is a single mom who is rocking the business world and is actually in South Florida, as we are too. And it's my pleasure to introduce Gigi Stettler, who is an accomplished businesswoman entrepreneur and is the owner of a RV sales enterprise that is extremely successful and has become the queen in a male-dominated industry. I just love that. But she also has some wonderful passions she's going to talk about. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gigi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. So let's talk about the business first. You're
okay.
an entrepreneur, a single mom. Tell us quickly about your path.
Well, I've always considered myself as a success born out of failure. Came from a divorced family. Father was very wealthy. Mother, she picked up and left with my brother and I when we were 2 and 3 and moved into a small house. And that was my goal since I was 11 to figure out how to impress my dad so he would accept me. So I went on that mission to make my millions, and I failed hundreds and hundreds of times. I'd get halfway up the ladder and go falling down again head first.
You hear that from other very successful entrepreneurs, that it wasn't one and done. It wasn't the first time wasn't the silver bullet, so to speak. So you own RV Sales of Broward, and that's in South Florida. That's where we are as well, Mom Talk Radio. So What made you get into that business? Was it just where you started working there and worked your way up, or how did that work?
It was actually an accident. I was in the hotel business, working with a friend of mine who had a couple of properties on South Beach, and we sold all those properties, and then I was kind of in the middle of no job at the moment, and my mother had a friend and that I had done some stuff with, some real estate deals and a couple of things with him before, and so he had this property. He bought this piece of property on 441 in Fort Lauderdale, and it had a bunch of RVs on it. So I didn't know what RVs were. I had no idea what an RV was. And he said, here, go sell those things, get them off my property, go sell them so that we could develop the property. So the next thing I knew, there was a manager there that when he bought the property, there was an ongoing business, but they were, you know, the point was to wind it down and get rid of the RVs. So when he bought the property, you know, the manager kind of came with it. And I said, I didn't know anything about the industry. So the next thing I know, I was watching him, and I was just kind of a salesperson to try to sell them and liquidate them. And I watched this guy who was kind of stealing and lying to the customers and stealing from the owner. And it was just so I kind of reported that back to the guy. And he fired him, and the next thing I knew, I was the manager. I knew nothing about the business.
Right. That's so, right. That's great.
Yeah. Well, the next thing I know, I ended up selling a few and then taking some trades. And the next thing I knew, I was in the RV business.
Oh, that's awesome. How long ago was that? Because, again, I'm from here and I'm a native. I actually grew up right where we were talking about. How long have you been in that business?
1986 when I first started. And, I worked with him, for 14 years. I worked 11 years, 7 days a week to build that business. And I thought when he was going to retire, or he never worked in the business, but I thought at one point when he didn't want to be involved in the business anymore, that it would be mine. And, you know, he would sell it to me at a reasonable price because I built the company up.
Sure.
When we first started, the place was, I don't know, $400,000 or $500,000 in the hole, and I built it up to about a $4.5 to $5 million company. And so I thought it was going to be mine, and I just kind of went along with a very small pay. And there's a saying that I always say is work to learn, don't work to earn. So I was following my own path, and that's what I was doing. So I was basically making no money, but learning from him because he was a billionaire.
Right.
You know, and I was learning stuff, even though he wasn't guiding me. I just was learning by, you know, process of eliminations and figuring things out. So I, after all of that hard work I did, just one day, he sold the land out from under me and just started selling off all the assets. And there was basically no company left. And then he blackmailed me.
Wow.
He blackmailed me into paying all his debts, and it was something like I didn't see it coming, and he was like a father figure to me.
Oh,
and
that's a shame.
He was the only thing in my life, and he totally stabbed me in the back.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but I started all over again.
Yeah, I was going to say, can't keep you down, right?
Nope. I started all over again in 1999, and I paid all the people that he didn't pay, and I built the company up to $20 million in sales by myself. Then it went crashing down again.
Right. It's a roller coaster, I know. Because you're in a male-dominated industry, what are the key traits that all women could share, could take from you in this lesson of the even the successes and the failures? And you mentioned Forbes Most Powerful Women of 2015.
Yes, I was. And I'm in the running.
Awesome.
You have to take every single thing that happens to you. It's just business. It's not personal. Even if it is personal, you have to put your game face on, and it's just business so that you don't turn yourself inside out. And you know, because men, you know, will tend to try to hit below the belt and stuff. But you got to, you know, I've always managed to somehow keep my game face on. I think that's the only way that I was able to survive all of the knife-cutting things that they've done to me.
It's something, I think it's the difference between women and men. It's just how we're wired. I think we do take it personally. And even when it comes to women love to share, mentor is where, and I don't, again, I'm not going to pigeonhole every woman and every man, especially in the business world, but I do think it just tends to be like that. And you're right. You have to just put that wall up and say,
we think with emotions and not
right,
you know,
right,
we think with
right.
our heart and not our head. And
correct.
I've been programmed and wired to think the other way. And that is the only way that I've managed to navigate through the cesspool of the devious men that I work with. And, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. So so you're in the running for the Forbes Most Powerful Women of 2015. Congratulations.
Yeah, I actually have been told. Thank you.
Yeah, and you started a RV timeshare program, the RV Fun Club. So, you know, it just, you got to think outside of the box. That's wonderful. And you're an accomplished equestrian,
for sure.
Correct?
Yes, and I have a book out called Unstoppable, which actually has all of my trials and tribulations and ups and downs. And if you've ever thought that you have a bad day, when you read my book, you'll never say that again.
Where do we find Unstoppable?
You can go to gigistetler.com or the book is on Amazon, or you can go to tobeunstoppable.com. And I can find it and send it off to you.
Tobeunstoppable.com or Gigi Stetler, that's STETLER.com. Thank you so much, Gigi. You are an inspiration, and I'm going to look forward to seeing you on that Forbes Most Powerful Women list. So you certainly deserve it and have earned it. So thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, we're joined by Dina Kimmel, who is the founder of Rock the Spectrum Kids Gyms. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
The next mom on our list who is rocking the business world, but it's all for kids, is Dina Kimmel. She is the founder of Rock the Spectrum Kids Gym. And Dina has a business marketing degree, but she used her mother's intuition with her son to found a gym that caters to all kinds of kids. So let's let Dina tell you about it. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dina.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So tell us, what was your inspiration for starting this really unique gym?
Well, it was my son and actually both of my kids. But my son was diagnosed back in 2009 with moderate to severe autism. Mm-hmm. And he had such a huge sensory need that I actually built an occupational therapy room in my home just for survival, because he wouldn't sleep, he wasn't eating, he wasn't socializing, and we were desperate. And per his OT therapist, she said, you know what, let's put some of this equipment up in your room. You've got these big beams. So we moved all of our furniture out, and I really built my first We Rock the Spectrum Kids Gym in my home. And remarkable. So it's all occupational therapy equipment, which is sensory equipment.
Right.
So what was phenomenal was the instant results. So I would put my son on this equipment because, you know, this is $150 an hour to use this kind of equipment. Mm-hmm. So the typical, you know, human being out there can't afford, you know, 3 hours a day, $150 a pop. And really, if you
That's
have a
expensive.
Moderate to severely,
yeah.
Exactly. And if you have a moderate to severely autistic child, well, they need it every day. But all of a sudden, not only was it helping my son, but my daughter, who is neurotypical, was coming on in because she didn't understand that it's, you know, equipment for occupational therapy. And then she began playing with her brother, and then her brother began playing with her. It was unbelievable. All of a sudden, he was getting eye contact. All of a sudden, he was playing with her. Then all of a sudden, her friend, it's like my bedroom became the playhouse area.
Aww.
And then it just kept going and had this domino effect. And I looked at my husband one day and I said, there's got to be families out there like us who need this.
Absolutely.
And I opened up our first, which is our flagship gym here in Tarzana, which is, We Rock the Spectrum Tarzana. And, you know my story. We've grown into almost 30 locations now. Unbelievable.
Right. So actually, we want you to tell the story. So you started with that one gym in Tarzana, and then you now have 30 locations. Are they only in the West Coast?
They are all over. And, you know, I'm the first to tell you, and anyone will tell you that knows me and my journey. When I opened up We Rock the Spectrum in Tarzana, it was just for my family. one, to, of course, save money, and two, to offer what I had discovered that was helping my son and the inclusion part of it, because that is what We Rock the Spectrum is. We're a gym for children with autism and disabilities and typical children. Because if you put, as you know, the whole expression monkey see, monkey do, if you put a child with severe behaviors in one room with other children, well, that's all they're going to do. You put children with severe behaviors in a room where they're neurotypical children, they're going to pick up on that. So that became my vision, and that became, I became the mother of my community here. And all of a sudden, a third of our community coming in the gym was the spectrum and the autism spectrum and with other disabilities, Down syndrome, everything. And then the import came in from, hey, we're in Texas. Can you open up one here? Hey, we're here. I thought to myself, are they kidding me? I just opened up 3 weeks ago. Why are we And then all of a sudden, you get that, that love and that support from the community. And I felt like there was no going back for me. Have I been an entrepreneur my whole life? Yes, absolutely. But I never thought that I would make my purpose in life, which was my children and helping other children become now, of course, now we're going worldwide at the end of the year. So what happened was, a year and a half ago, I decided to go for it. And I jumped in. And yes, I call myself a mompreneur, and I became a franchisor. And now we're in 8 different states with 28 locations and counting. And at the end of the year, like I said, we're going worldwide. So it's just, I feel like I'm living a dream every day. I consider it an honor to be in the position that I'm in, because not only are we creating a home for special needs families and typical families, who need a place like ours. I don't know if you saw our tagline, but our tagline is that we're finding a place that you never have to say I'm sorry. Because I was kicked out of place after place. It was awful. And I remember telling my husband, I just am so tired of saying I'm sorry. And sure enough, little did I know, that statement would now be going across the United States of America. I mean, it's really unbelievable. But, children with autism, they get severe behaviors. And parents like myself, I'm an autism mom first and foremost. I'm a mother. And I feel like to be a good entrepreneur, you need to know that family comes first. And by creating We Rock and by creating a business where families like myself or special needs parents or professionals in this field, you get to bring your family into your business. So not only are we creating, of course, a wonderful safe haven for all the children, but we're creating jobs for families who never thought that they could work. Mm-hmm. Because that's when wonderful. You have a special needs child, that's it.
Their job. Yeah. So much of what you're doing is it started from obviously your concern and love for the safety and health and well-being of your child, but now it's just affecting so many families, which is just such a noble and wonderful thing you're doing.
Well, what's amazing is now we started a nonprofit, My Brother Rocks the Spectrum, which is also helping mompreneurs and families become owners as well. To get all that information, you can visit our site, which is wrtsfranchise.com.
Okay.
And just to see what a We Rock is doing. And moving and shaking, hop on our main site. It's WeRockTheSpectrum.com.
Congratulations on a wonderful business, a concept, and best of luck. WRTSFranchise.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Dina. And when we come back, we will welcome Casey Risloff, who is an author of a book called Open the Doors to You. We'll be right back. Rounding out this fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio with all our fabulous moms, talking to Casey Risloff, who's the author of Open the Doors to You. Casey has lots of expertise in elementary education. She holds a master's degree in endorsements in early childhood and special needs, and has spent really your life helping kids. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Casey.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So this is your third book, Open the Doors to You. Tell us a little bit about the topic.
The topic is about encouraging children to open those doors, to make new friends, try new activities, and even just try something new. That's just the big motivation behind it all.
Right.
And it can be anything from a sports door, to anything, the neighborhood door, meet friends around you, to school doors. There's just so many doors in life we open. So I want to encourage them to try things.
Right. So what's the symbolism of the doors? Just because just opening a door to a new experience?
Yeah. And I happened just when I was writing the book, I tend to write a lot of stuff in the evening time when it's quiet, being a young mom. Of young children. And so when I
was sitting in bed. I just happened to see the shadow of the door when I was writing about this topic. And I don't know, it just kind of went from there. Because there's even shadows and stuff playing that kind of put into my book, too. So I, and doors are just kind of neat. Not mm-hmm. one is basically the same.
Right. So what do you, without giving away the whole book, obviously, what do you talk about in the book?
Like I said, there's like the sports door, encouraging kids, you know, to try sports, even if it's not like being part of a team. But, you know, if you try it at school or at home or something, there's like the door of helping others, which could be anything from a hug or it could be as much as, you know, bringing school or food to people for school. And I know schools are good about that kind of thing. And then,
yes.
of course, there's lots of doors at the school that I talk about. But it's everything from home life and on.
Oh, good. So you cover, it's not just like getting outdoors or playing on a team. You cover family life, school life, that kind of thing?
Yeah, a little of everything. Yeah. Yep. That's where I kind of start. I start with the home and I kind of work out from there because then your neighborhood would be next. And then probably children learn, I think, from a young age to do things
awesome.
Like help care for others. So,
yeah.
And I build up from there.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's that's good because it is all, it sounds like it's also about balance and how you, there's doors in every phase of life and every place we go. So, you mentioned, I was just thinking of that community service because my kids over this summer, I have a middle schooler and a high schooler, and I want them to really get out there and open a door to a community that really needs help. It could be, down the street serving ice cream at a patient's facility or something to that effect. Do you know what I mean? Does that good? So
exactly. It's exactly the message of the book.
What's your view quickly on phones and social media? I think, especially again for my older children, I think it just really robs us of so many of the, opening those doors.
It does, because then their mind is just directed towards the screen. You know, just like
right.
when we were young, we were told to stay away from the TV. And I mean, there's a place for it, of course. But I mean, it's even taken from how to be in social settings, you know, to how do you really talk to your friends, and you know, what kind of things can you do to be together, and
right.
that TV time or any screen time takes away those social skills and just living life, having fun. You're not really living life if you're behind the screen.
Right. And a couple quick tips. We have to wrap really quick, but summertime, anything you can suggest? Because I know we're going to get the, I'm bored.
You know what? I really think boredom can be a great thing for anybody because you forget about things that you like to do. And, you know, it's a perfect opportunity to reflect and say, you know, what could I do today? I haven't painted in a long time. Let's do that. Or mm-hmm. what's my friend doing? You know, maybe I'd like to learn something new today. Because sometimes I think we're afraid to try something new.
Right. So where can
I think boredom can be a great thing. I think boredom can bring creativity or open a new door for you because you're
Absolutely.
Bored, or go back to one you haven't been to.
Absolutely. And funny thing, a quick story, and we're going to tell listeners, we're going to read your book. We had my daughter lost her phone a few weeks ago. And honestly, it was amazing what she did. She just found so much to do. It was so, you know, she just rediscovered some things in her room and did some things without that phone in her hand. So it was an interesting exercise in, again, getting her to rediscover some doors that she had moved on from. So it was really funny. Casey Riz. Yes. Casey Rislov Books. That's CaseyRislov is your name, correct? Okay.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
And where else can we, so it's called Open the Doors to You. Congratulations, by the way. And that is your third book. Where else can our listeners
Thank
find
you.
The book?
You can find them also on Amazon. So I do
okay.
ship through them and they're the main people who take care of it. I mean, I do it to my website too, but anyways, great to have two sites for it.
Yeah, Amazon. Okay, cool. Thank you so much, Casey, for joining us. Again, it's CaseyRislovBooks.com and find them also on Amazon. And that wraps today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. We had some wonderful guests. The archive show will be on MomTalkRadio.com next week. Follow us on Facebook at MomTalkRadio. And, of course, follow Maria's activities on Twitter at MomTalkRadio. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy this first week of June. And we'll be back next week with another fabulous show.